This podcast is sponsored by ebookit.com, self-publishing solutions for the independent author and small press. Visit us today at ebookit.com.
Welcome to the Toastmasters Podcast, the official podcast of Toastmasters International. Hello, everybody. This is Greg Gazin.
And I'm Ryan Levesque.
Ryan, we have a special guest today. Please tell us, who is our guest?
Yes, I am not going to say too much about our guest today because we want to hear directly from him, but he is a Toastmaster and has been since the year 2006. He is from Seymour, Connecticut, and he is none other than the new president of Toastmasters International, Mr. Richard Peck. Welcome to the Toastmasters podcast.
Well, thank you, Ryan and Greg, for having me. It's my pleasure.
We're glad you're here.
Richard, I want to start off by asking you one of my favorite questions to ask international presidents, and that is a question surrounding what brought you into Toastmasters initially, because I know part of your story, and I'd like you to share that with us, involves Les Brown.
An interesting story in how this came to be. This was 2006, about the April-May timeframe. And I was attending a How to Become a Millionaire seminar. Don't we all want to attend the How to Become a Millionaire seminars and learn how to become millionaires? And it just so happened that Les was the MC of the event. Met up with him afterwards, and we were having a good communication, good talk. And he had asked me if I had ever thought about getting into public speaking. I was mid-career at that point with my corporation. And it wasn't anything that really came across my mind at any time in the past. And I let it go. I explained to him, no, that I hadn't really thought about it. And we went on our merry little way. But he did give me his contact information. So a few days later, I was sitting in my office and I was thinking there had to be a reason that he had brought up public speaking. So I called him and we had a good conversation. And before I closed, I asked him, if you were going to give a recommendation to somebody who was thinking about getting into public speaking, what would you suggest? And the first words out of his mouth were, find a Toastmasters club. Now, as you remember, Les was a Golden Gavel recipient in the past. Mm-hmm. So I found a club that was meeting close to my house, attended the first meeting, and joined at the next one. And that's how it came to be. And that's how Les and I came to know each other. I still contact him every once in a while.
I found the September 2020 profile quite fascinating. And I do encourage everyone, if you haven't already done so, to go back and read it. And as I was reading it, I was not only inspired, but I was also laughing. I was just having so much fun reading it. Your profile talks about things from photography to fried ants to dragster car racing. In one of these, you jokingly talk about learning the true meaning of leadership. Can you enlighten us with a little bit about which one it was and why?
Yeah, I think we learn about leadership through everything we do in life, if we take the opportunity. Where I truly learned about leadership was through my involvement with drag racing. So for those of you who aren't familiar with drag racing, it's a acceleration sport. So you race your car over a set distance. You're in the car by yourself. However, you cannot do this on your own. So you have a crew of individuals who help you, similar to a team. So when you're a leader, you have a team of individuals that you're leading. You have to have trust in your team, as you have to have trust in your team in anything that you're doing. Because once you're in the vehicle and you're by yourself, you have to believe and trust that they've done everything possible to meet the requirements of that day. That you have to, in my instance, put your life in their hands. So I've learned about trust and team building from my involvement. I also learned about being able to react to things smartly and quickly. You think about it, you're racing down the track at 150 miles an hour, and the car goes a little bit off track. you only have a short period of time to react, and you have to react in a way that does not cause anything major to go wrong. As a leader, you have to be able to do the same thing. You have to keep your eye on the horizon where the organization needs to go. And you also need to be able to react to the changes that are necessary quickly and smartly in order to be able to accommodate that. I truly learned about leadership by being in that seat.
Literally a seat.
Literally a seat.
The leadership journey, like racing, is filled with ups and downs, and you don't win every race. I loved, Richard, that in the September 2020 profile, you shared some of your struggle. So often we only see the end result and think that it must have been smooth sailing. Richard said, I want to be international president of Toastmaster, and then it happened just like that. But no, you share in your article that you lost your first run for second vice president in 2016. Yeah. I wonder if you could talk a little bit about that.
It's a great question. And it was a stark realization after that happened for me, a point of reflection. When I ran in 2016 for second vice president in Washington, D.C., there was a well-qualified slate of individuals running. Very well qualified. The election, when it was over, had an emotional toll. And it was emotional in the fact that I felt I let my family down because they were there supporting me. My wife's son, who was in the military, had taken leave to come and attend the business meeting and watch. It was emotional from that standpoint. It was emotional in the fact that we put everything into these campaigns. Every candidate does. And at the end, it's just a big emotional drain on you. And it took a little while for me to look back at that and understand it. And as I reflected upon it, I realized that it wasn't the realization that I had lost. But looking back on leadership, there was a realization that I hadn't really won, if you will. And what I mean by that is oftentimes when we step into leadership, we're the only one stepping into a role. Well, if you're the only person stepping into a role, you're not being challenged. You're not growing. You're not developing skills. And as I looked back through my district leadership roles, they were uncontested roles. So I wasn't being challenged. I wasn't being pushed to be better than who I was the day before. The election in Washington, D.C. and the loss made me realize that I needed to continue to develop my skills, that I wasn't going to get elected based on what I was previously doing, that in order to lead an organization, you have to be constantly moving forward yourself. And that was the stark realization. And when I realized that and put that together with the fact that I still had something to offer this organization, that's when I decided to run again. And I learned so much along that journey that has allowed me to continue that growth process as a leader throughout these times. And when you think about the times we're in right now, no previous leadership skill can prepare you for what we're in. So you have to be constantly evolving. And every leader in every organization right now is facing something that they've never had to deal with before. And we're growing the skills necessary to move through it. And that's the same at district and club level for leadership as well. They're all learning new skills, skills that they never thought they would have to, and they're being resilient. When we elect our officers for districts and clubs, we were already into the COVID-19 situation, and they had a choice. They could stand up or they could stand aside. And every one of them stood up knowing that they were going to face this challenge. So when you look at our leaders, it's truly, truly impressive to see how resilient they are as well.
Back in June, I think it was, Ryan and I had a conversation with President Menon about the state of Toastmasters. We're now about 6 months into this new world reality. I think we can agree that the world is still finding itself in the land of uncertainty. What is your vision for the coming year, and what words of encouragement can you offer members or people who are involved in the organization?
What I see happening in the future is what exactly the board has already done, looking at ways to keep our members safe. We are allowing clubs to meet online now. We've encouraged it. We have over 82% of our clubs accepting online attendance. That is allowing our members to build a stronger community. The true border between us right now is a time zone. We don't have to travel anywhere. We don't have to fly. We don't have to have visas and passports. Don't have to get shots. Oh, and there's no jet lag. But you can reach out around the world. You can share your story with others, and you can learn about them. Never has the opportunity been so great to do that as it is now. Generally, the only time that you would have that type of community coming together would be at the annual convention, when everyone is coming together from around the world, and you spend a few days getting to know each other. Now, we as members have the ability to reach out and speak with members, be with members from different countries, different cultures, anytime that we can. That's creating a sense of community within this organization. I think that will be unstoppable. It's also allowing us to understand our members better, because we're immersing ourselves in culture for a very short period of time, but we're doing it, which allows us to learn their needs, understand their cultures, and be able to be a stronger, united organization. My hope is that we'll continue that over the year and for the years to come, because we're going to need to continue to support each other regardless of the situation. And this is how I see us doing it.
Yeah, that's also true. I mean, we have an opportunity of learning from each other. In fact, next Monday, I'll be visiting a club in Dubai.
Yeah, it's what we do to support one another.
Absolutely.
I'm really curious. It seems like there is such a positive advantage to the ability, as we've just been discussing, to visit other clubs worldwide. I'm wondering about, on the other side of the COVID-19 pandemic, do you think there might be an opportunity to not simply have this as an exception, but to, in fact, maybe even have it shift to the norm, where clubs could either be virtual or even hybrid, if you will, where there's a mix of people meeting in person if they choose, but also an allowance for people to visit or be a member and attend virtually from anywhere around the world? Do you see that on the horizon for Toastmasters International?
So recently, the board has decided to allow online clubs, 100% online clubs, to be chartered in districts and be part of districts. So that's already in place. That was recently announced. Now, the term hybrid club has been in use for a while now in clubs that would allow a percentage of members to be on-prem, on-site, and a percentage to be joining virtually. So that's been in policy now for a little bit. What we've recently done is changed what that definition of hybrid looked like, because originally it was you had to have a certain percentage of individuals within a room, if you will, co-located, and allowing a certain percentage to attend online. Now we've allowed the clubs to more define what hybrid means to them. So let's say you're a club that meets every week of the month. Well, you may choose to have four meetings on-prem or on-site and one meeting completely online. Still qualifies you as a hybrid club under the definition. So those are already in place, a policy, so I don't see us changing that anytime in the near future. When the COVID-19 restriction is lifted and clubs can go back to meeting on-prem, on-site, they will still have that choice of becoming a hybrid club, remaining a hybrid club. I think the other question is, is a club going to want to become a full 100% online club in the future? They've gotten used to meeting online. They want to continue to meet online. I think that's something that we're still going to have to discuss and think about as we move forward. And I say that for a certain reason is that we've had some countries starting to open up and clubs that were meeting 100% online based on the mandate and the restrictions could not wait to get back to an on-site and on-prem meeting. Just because they've been stuck in the house and they want to have that interaction, if you will, the ability to sit across the table from one another, have a conversation that goes beyond the club meeting. I don't know yet, and I don't think we can interpret yet what this is going to look like when COVID-19 ends and when it's going to end. So predicting that far into the future right now is a little bit difficult.
Yeah.
You also have to think about where our members are right now. Members are working from home. Right. If they're employed, their corporations have them working from home. They're in a 1x3 environment all day long in Zoom meetings and phone calls and all that. At some point in time, they're going to likely want to get away from that computer.
Yeah.
And is this going to say, hey, I need to get back to a club environment where I'm in the same room with people because I just need to get away from the computer for a while? I don't think we truly have a handle on that. I don't think psychologists and psychiatrists have a true handle on it yet as to what the impact of this Zoom lifestyle that we have is going to be. You know, it's getting harder and harder to get away from the computer. Mm. And, you know, eventually we're going to have to. So that far in the future, I'm not sure we're going to have, you know, we're going to have to continue discussions on that and look at what the true face of the organization is going to be like in the future to come.
Yeah. In the meantime, we are moving forward. Clubs have moved online. We have training online. We have all kinds of webinars. And so far, everything seems to have gone quite smoothly. I'd like to keep the topic a little bit to the online and talk a little bit about the International Convention. Originally, it was scheduled to be in Paris for the first time. Obviously, that didn't happen. And for the longest time, we heard very little. And then all of a sudden, we hear that there's going to be a virtual international convention. And when you think about a convention in itself, all the moving parts, not to mention the limited time and potential technical challenges of putting online, most people may have thought, well, this is just purely a pipe dream. But of course, the entire Toastmasters team pulled it off. Now, I'm wondering, Richard, I don't know how privy you are to some information, but I'm wondering if you could maybe pull back the curtain a little bit and tell us a little bit about how the thought process came about in terms of putting on this virtual convention for the first time. And how would you rate how it ended up? How would you rate how well it went?
A couple good questions there. How did it come to be? Well, you know, by our governing documents, we had to hold an annual business meeting that's required and vote on new officers. That's required. And we have to have our World Championship of Public Speaking. So we knew we had to have at least two items covered, regardless of whether there was a convention or not. But then we started talking about trying to have some sense of normalcy in the environment that we were in. And as we began talking about the normalcy and being able to bring people together from around the world, the convention idea developed more and more. Then there was the moving pieces of who are the speakers going to be? How do you coordinate everything? What are the timing? What time zone do you put it in? World Headquarters did a tremendous, tremendous job in pulling all that together. As a board, we were there to support them and we had little involvement as we would normally have little involvement with putting the convention together. They just did an outstanding, outstanding job of coming up with solutions to issues, making sure that we had venues for people, virtual venues for people, that we had a good slate of speakers, that we could conduct our business meeting, conduct our World Championship of Public Speaking. It wasn't until shortly before the convention that it was announced that it was going to be free. You know, that was a first for us to say, hey, we're going to have a free convention where we would normally have between 2,000 and 3,000 attendees, registrants. We had over 16,000 for this event.
Wow.
Now, You mentioned that this was the first time ever. So if you've ever been involved with any software technology, when you're used to having a small quantity of attendees and then the floodgates open up, you can imagine right away that there is the potential for issue. And of course, we saw that on the first day where there were issues with people being able to access certain parts of the convention. World headquarters reacted quickly. Our IT staff was amazing and reacted quickly to help overcome those issues. The convention, in my opinion, was an overall success. We were able to get through everything. We even found ways for providing access to the program where it was restricted by country. So as we know in China, they cannot view things on YouTube if it's from outside the country. So we had to find ways, IT had to find ways to get them the same accessibility. And they did. For an organization that has never, ever done this before, they did an outstanding, outstanding job. I think we've learned a lot from this. Yeah, I was heartbroken when we had to make the decision not to have it in Paris, but it's what we have to do for our members to provide them the best experience. And I think we did that. There's always going to be those individuals who think things could have been a little different, a little better. But you know what? When you think about it being the first time, the amount of moving pieces, as you mentioned, that went into it, they did a great job, an absolute great job.
I agree wholeheartedly. Having a background in IT, I understand when the volumes happen, things will crash. And just a little note for those who are listening, we recently interviewed Mike Carr, the world champion of public speaking for 2020. And if you listen to his interview, he'll share a little bit about how the process went for the world championship with respect to having it online.
If you ask me, the job of international president sounds like a big enough job on its own for anyone. You're actually currently right now, you're serving as a club officer.
Yes.
Let's give up
I'm
that.
Serving as a club officer with Toastmasters, and I serve as a club officer with Lions International.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Wow.
Okay. And I'm on a board. I'm a commissioner on one of the boards in my local town.
And when do you sleep?
Yeah.
Sometimes during meetings.
I bet.
I'm trying to find the tattoo artist that Johnny Depp had in Pirates of the Caribbean so that I can get my eyelids tattooed. So you won't know whether I'm awake or asleep.
That's awesome.
Can you give us a bit of a thumbnail here of your involvements and also what you do for work and a touch of your personal life? I know that's a lot of questions rolled into one. I just like members to really get a look at all the things you're up to.
Sure, sure. Yeah, it is an active job being the international president. But we have great directors, international directors that are supporting it. We also have great world headquarters support. As a leader, you don't have to take on everything by yourself. And it's good to have that team surrounding me. I am the treasurer and VPE for Nutmeg Toastmasters. I am a member, just strictly a member of Park City Toastmasters, but I do hold those two roles for Nutmeg, which is my primary club, the one I joined in 2006. We need to lead by example as leaders. And if we're asking individuals to step into club leadership roles or district leadership roles, we need to be able to do the same thing. For me, that's what it's about, being able to help our members. So taking on the club officer roles is something I've been doing since probably 2007. I don't think I was in the club for more than a year before I took on a club leadership role. I am the third vice president for my local Lions Club, which has been a lot of fun to see how another community-based organization, member-based organization, is doing during these challenging times. Now, Lions is different and they're more of a community outreach style, but they are still member-based, and this is taking a toll on them as well. Actively helping them out with some of their community service, that keeps me a little bit busy, but it's a different type of busy and a different type of skill set that's needed. So it's allowing me to build on my leadership skills, as I had stated earlier. And yeah, I was recently appointed as a commissioner on one of the local boards in my town government. which has been eye-opening as well, because now I'm involved with something that I have never been involved with before, and the learning curve is very steep on it. But again, it's helping me to increase my skills in leadership and my ability to help my community. So I think those are all the benefits to those items. And they do take time. You know, you can't do these things without the support of your family. And my wife, Betty Ann, who is also a Toastmaster, is very, very supportive of this. And without her, I couldn't do the things I do, whether it be drag racing or community involvement, because you have to have that support, especially if you're taking time away from individuals. As far as my career, I retired from AT&T in 2019. So I'm constantly looking for new opportunities to help out. But right now, I'm pretty much a full-time job with doing what I'm doing.
And helping out is certainly something you are doing. You've been visiting clubs virtually online. I know you did an educational session for our district, District 99. So, I mean, on behalf of all our listeners and all of Toastmasters International, thank you so much so far for what you have done. And there's still quite a good part of the year left.
The one aspect I think that we need to be serious about this year is that sense of community that I mentioned earlier. And we need to make sure that as leaders, we're making ourselves accessible and being close to our members. I had a region advisor tell me recently that it's about the hope. You know, everyone in this uncertain time is just looking for the hope. They're just looking for the guidance. And as leaders, we need to be accessible to our members. And we just recently announced the International President's Virtual World Tour. And there'll be more details coming out about that. But my plan is to attend club meetings in every country that we are represented in that will allow online attendance. And if asked to give a pathway speech, I'll give a pathway speech. If asked to provide an evaluation, I'll provide an evaluation. But I want our members to know that I am there to support them and will be out there and accessible as much as possible.
That's fantastic.
Richard Peck, thank you for leading by example. Thank you for stepping up to leadership to serve our organization and all of its members. And of course, thanks for coming on the Toastmasters podcast today to share with us. It's been a real pleasure, and we wish you the best of success for the rest of your International President year.
Well, thank you. It was really my pleasure. This is a rare opportunity to me. I think this was only the second podcast or third podcast I've ever been on. Very well done, very professional. So thank you for that. And Ryan and Greg, it was nice to finally meet you. I've heard great things about your podcast, and I was glad we were able to get this done in a timely manner.
It was our pleasure.
Isn't it about time you published that book you've been thinking about? We can help with that. At ebookit.com, we've been providing authors and small presses with ebook publishing services since 2010. Visit us today at ebookit.com and let us know how we can help you.